If you are listening to this podcast, it means you are searching. Searching for someone who understands you. Someone who gets you. You are yearning to be understood and to belong. Welcome to the Someone Gets Me podcast, where we help smart, talented, and sensitive people navigate an often insensitive world. Let's welcome your host, ambassador, author, speaker, and mentor, Diane Allen. Diane has the experience and knowledge to educate and inspire, as she has been there and understands your unique intensities and their challenges.
Hello, everybody, and it's Diane at Someone Gets Me podcast. Today's episode is one that I have been getting lots of requests for, and in fact, I covered some of this topic in my recent retreat. The topic is about getting us ourselves free from being stuck. Like sometimes we're stuck mentally or emotionally or physically or belief system-wise, and or sometimes we just feel stuck like in the day-to-day routine and mundane, like life isn't going anywhere. I call it existential stuckness. And so today I would like to talk about five different steps that will help you break free from being stuck. And first, I want to tell you a little story about somebody who I've been helping in this matter so that we can have like a common conversation about it. And this person is this really, really cool girl. She's 19, you know, kind of growing and coming into her own after high school. She's in college now, and she's trying to sort out who she is and where she's going and what she's about. And she came to me and said, you know, I just feel stuck. And when I asked her, you know, tell me about stuck and what do you mean, stuck in what area, those kinds of things, she really didn't have a lot of words for it. What she could identify, though, is that she had this vision for herself, for this feeling of who she was and what she's supposed to do. And when she looked around at her friends and family and the way her life was unfolding, even the degree she's getting in college, it just didn't seem to line up for her. She didn't feel like she was going anywhere. Now, after some conversation and talking about it, one thing was certain, and that was that she was going somewhere, was making progress, and was growing, and was transforming and evolving. And her belief system and her brain kept telling her she wasn't, that she wasn't good enough, and she wasn't making it, and she wasn't growing fast enough or hard enough or in the right direction. And none of those things were really true from out here in my perspective. I've known her for a long time. I think I'll give her a name for the sake of this conversation. Let's call her Penelope. That's my favorite name to give people when I want to make up a name, Penelope. So Penelope, she was amazing, and she still is. And she really, really wanted to see her own progress, and she just couldn't. Now, I've known her for a lot of years, and I started helping her see, well, let's look at this. Look at the quality of friends you have. Let's look at all the insights and awarenesses and the knowledge base you've gained. Look at the progress and the connections toward your goal. She is a creative artist kind of person, so she does a lot of drawing and painting, and she also writes like amazing poetry and all those kinds of creative things. And so sometimes there's some intangibles with it, and sometimes there's the product, and she's still always growing. And I see her maturing and becoming this great, amazing person. But she couldn't see it. So she was stuck. Now, the illusion of being stuck because we can't see our own growth is a form of being stuck. Now, there is also being stuck when we physically really are stuck. Stuck in a job, maybe, that we don't want to be in, or we think we are supposed to be working somewhere else, or maybe in a job or vocation where we're underemployed. Now, underemployed means it might be a good job and might be, you know, a noble thing, but it's not where we're supposed to be. So underemployed doesn't necessarily mean bad or not good enough. It means underneath where that particular person is supposed to be. So there's all kinds of stuckness. So I created these five steps to help us break free regardless of the kind of stuckness. And like Penelope couldn't see that she was moving, so we had to break her out of that perceptual stuckness. And sometimes it's a stuckness in a rut of a certain behavior. I have another client His name is Sam, and he keeps doing the same thing over and over and over again while he's saying he doesn't want to. He says he wants to get up early in the morning and just get up and do something, whether it's go to the gym or maybe just meditate or play with his dog. And Sam, he, no matter what deal we make or what kind of feedback loop we give him, he does not want to get up. He never does what he says he's going to do, and he beats himself up. And I try to tell him that that form of stuckness means you need to look at the goal. Maybe the goal is impotent. You say you want to get up in the morning because it's a great idea, but is that really what's for your highest good and the best benefit for you and everyone else? So I'm helping Sam look at what his real goals are and the real desires and how they line up, because I think he's putting some pressure on himself that may not be part of his personal trajectory. But nonetheless, Sam, Penelope, you, me, we all have times when we're stuck. So here are some steps to help us get unstuck. The first step is to have awareness of your stuckness, a kind of stuckness, what it's doing, the consequences, your payoff for staying stuck, and to be very honest about it. So step one has two pieces, the awareness of that you are even stuck and how you're stuck, but also being honest about it. What's the impact it's having on your life? Is it upsetting you emotionally? Is it upsetting you physically, or does it mess up your routine? Are you not sleeping at night? Like, what is happening? Be honest with yourself. When you close your eyes and kind of look within you, how is this stuckness or your perception of it impacting your life? And the key to the honesty here is to tell yourself the real truth, especially the truth you yourself don't want to know about. Like Sam, who really wants to start doing more healthy things, he knows that his kind of laziness and not being active is hurting him in the long run. He knows it. We talk about it all the time. Where is the difference between what he knows and his behavior? It's a belief system. And so we had to work through some of that belief system so his behavior and his desires lined up. So the first step is to be very aware. Look at it from every angle. It's called fluid viewing. When you put the issue or the situation, made it into a thing and you put it on the table and you walk all the way around it, looking at it from every angle you possibly can and noticing everything, even the things you think are irrelevant, because sometimes what you think is irrelevant is relevant. So first you do that. Then step two. Step two is to assess what is going on, to assess how it's affected you, what its long-term impact is going to be, how much pain it's creating, what's the secondary payoff? Because if there's a secondary gain or payoff, even if the payoff is to be a victim or stay sick, that payoff has to be addressed before you can get unstuck. So we need to assess all the factors here, everything we can possibly think of. That's why sometimes having somebody outside of yourself helps in these steps, because a friend or a mentor or a coach or somebody who's known you a long time can help you see things you can't see. And then the second part of step two is to make a plan based on your assessment. So if I say, okay, you know, like in Penelope's situation where she wasn't stuck, but she felt like she was, right? Well, what's the assessment? The assessment would be that she is making headway, but she can't see it. And so the plan would be to help her gain insight and awareness and kind of take the blinders off that blind spot she has so she can see it, to help her get education or insight or understanding into things that are shifting and changing in herself that she can't see. So the plan for her might be to write in her journal every day and then not reread it until 90 days have gone by and go back and reread. She'll then see how much she's grown and changed. That could be one plan. Another plan could be to have a conversation with somebody once a week and point out how they've grown or changed and what she's doing. So there's lots of different feedback ways, but we have to have a plan and we have to assess where we're going so we can have a ground, a foundation for this situation. Then step three is to be open to having a new plan or changing your plan. See, I believe that every person gets up every morning and goes out to do their best. Even on the days we mess it up horribly and everything's gone wrong, we still do our best every day when we get up. So the biggest screw-up days you've had, the biggest messes you've had, you actually had noble causes and you actually woke up that day trying to do your best. So we have to be open to the idea that maybe our best, maybe your best in a certain situation needs some improvement or change. So we have to be open to the fact that maybe there's another way. I really believe that humans, all of us, tend to think our way is the only way. And that's not the case at all. There's multiple ways to get to any place we're going. The better question is it working for you? If you're feeling stuck, the plan you currently have is not working. If it was working, you would not be feeling stuck, period. If you're feeling stuck, get a new plan. It may not be a lot of changes or a big new plan, but it still has to be different than what you're doing. So step three is about being open to it. It doesn't mean you have to do every suggestion everybody says. It doesn't mean you have to like go 180 degrees and do some cockamamie thing in the other direction. Not at all. It just means being open, opening your mind, opening your ideas, opening your emotions to something better. Now, step four is taking action and then getting feedback on the action. This is the key right here, is what are you going to do differently? So when I'm dealing with Sam or Penelope or myself or anybody else, the real question is, okay, now that I am honest and I see what's been going on and I've assessed its impact on my life and now I have a plan and then I'm open to a newer plan and expanding the plan, then I have to take action on the new plan. And then I have to give myself feedback to see how that new plan is working. Most people get stuck by accident because they don't have enough feedback. They don't have enough information coming back to them about, is their plan working? Is what they're doing working? When Sam said he wanted to get up every morning at 5:30, and when Penelope said that she wanted to paint X number of pictures in a certain time period, and she exceeded that number, and she couldn't see that she beat her own number. See, that's an awareness thing. So they're different, but it's important to know what the feedback is. Just like with Sam, I have him calling me now or texting me every day to tell me, yes, I did what I said I would do. I've gone to the gym. And magically, with feedback very frequently, like every day, he's made it to the gym every day. When we were doing feedback once a week, he couldn't do it, because it was too much time in between the feedback. So feedback is very, very important. And then step five is use your power of intention for success. That means to focus yourself where you're headed. Keep your eyes in the zone like an athlete would, you know, like when you see the runners or whoever and they're really focused on their going. What is your intention? Is your intention to be successful? Well, if you keep working at something and you cannot be successful, you keep sabotaging yourself or you keep falling short, you might want to look at the goal. Maybe what you're going after isn't yours to do. Maybe it is just a good idea. So we want to focus on, what does success mean? How will we know we're there? We always have to have the evidence procedure. How will you know you've actually gotten unstuck? How will you know when you're in the flow and ease again? Will you sleep better at night? Will your anxiety level go down? Will you see your productivity level go up? Will you be nicer to people? Will you start saying please and thank you again? There's all kinds of evidence, but what is it? And it's important to stay focused with your intention toward that goal. Now, you may not be perfect all the time. And sometimes when we're getting unstuck, we get partially unstuck. And then guess what happens? We fall back a little bit, right? That's okay. It's normal. It's not where you want to stay, but it does happen. It's kind of the process. I kind of look at it like a big spiral. And sometimes we come back around to learn the lesson a second time or to see how we're going to handle it again. It doesn't mean we're messing it up. It means we have to stay open and be aware that there's always flexibility in our plan. There's always a way to do things that will serve us better. Always, even when what we're doing is working. So to be unstuck and to break free of it means we get to live with a sense of ease. That does not mean easy. Ease means having a flow and a way of doing things that kind of is gentle and nice and kind. And sometimes there's rapids like going whitewater rafting, but there's still a flow. Easy would mean laying around doing nothing. And that's probably not what your life is like if you're listening to this podcast. Usually, gifted people and people with intensities and overexcitabilities tend to be very hot, meaning lots of energy. I heard it said the other day that gifted people have Ferrari engines with bicycle brakes. And I love that phrase. I'm like, yes, that is how it is. So there's five steps to help us get unstuck. The first one is to be honest and have good awareness. Really go within and look at all the steps. Look at what's really going on with us, not just what we see on the outside. What's going spiritually? What's going on emotionally? How is it affecting your social life, your sexual life, your financial life? All of those things. Then we have to have an assessment of where it all stands, how it's affecting us, and then make a plan. Then we have to be even open, more open for even a bigger, more new plan. So when we make our own plan with our own thinking, then what will happen is that will open the door, if we're open, to more information and more feedback and more things from other people and other sources, like books or podcasts or movies or something, where we go, oh, I could try this and that. Then we're going to take a lot of action. You want to have your action focused and a lot of it on whatever your goal is. So random action doesn't work. Like I'm recording this podcast right now. If I was taking different action and running around playing with my dog or doing the laundry or something, I might be taking action and I might even be busy, but it wouldn't get the podcast recorded. So your action has to be focused toward the actual goal you say you want. And then of course, we have to have feedback, because feedback is necessary if you're going to make progress. And of course, step five is to use your intentions for success. So focusing on where you really do want to go and having an idea of what's happening. Stephen Covey always said to begin with the end in mind. And I had that belief before I heard that phrase. And when I heard it, I'm like, oh, that's the perfect way to say it. I think it's universal for people who really want to get projects done or see their vision come up, is we have to see the bigger vision. We have to see at least where we're headed far enough in front of us in order to begin with that in mind, so that the current day steps take us towards something we have focus on. And that's the intention. So I hope this podcast has been helpful. Right now, Penelope and I are working on helping her see more and more of how the things she is doing are creating actual change. And she's not as stuck as she thinks sometimes. Maybe her stuckness is because she's being hard on herself. And how Sam really needs a lot of extra outside support. Both things are very common for bright and talented people and people with sensitivities. So when you think you should do it alone, or you think that you have to kind of sneak and make your changes and not tell anybody what you're doing and then show up, you know, some days or months later, like all different, that doesn't work very well. It doesn't work well for most people, but particularly intense, gifted people really need support and really need to have other people on the ride with them. So I'm hoping this podcast is part of that support for you. And I invite you to visit my website, visionsapplied.com. Attend any of my webinars. And as always, in the show notes is my email address. Feel free to email me any questions or comments or feedback. If you have a specific question you would like me to answer or do a podcast or a series of podcasts about, please send me that information. I'm happy to create whatever is in my ability for your benefit and your happiness and your health. So that's it for today. And always remember, keep your face toward the sun, because the shadows will fall behind you and you will see your bright future. Until next time.
Are you tired of searching for someone who understands you? Join our Facebook group, Someone Gets Me. In this group, you will be able to connect with others who are intense, sensitive, smart, talented, and wanting to be understood. Diane shares her insights and teachings, and you can connect with others. Join today.